Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Astrology with Alice. I'm your host, Alice Bell, and today is like a fun Thursday episode. I haven't done one of these in a while. I just wanted to make it more of a casual astrology chat where I talk through transits that I'm experiencing, and if you currently have a similar transit going on, how you may be feeling something similar, as well as bigger astrological trends coming up. So I'm going to be going over a lot of Saturn transits, because that's what's been on my mind and what I've been experiencing the most recently. And then I'm going to get into a little bit of Jupiter and Uranus moving into Gemini. So when I'm thinking of some of the most difficult astrological transits you can go through, and also like when I get people come to me for readings that are going through a tough time and just feeling depressed and kind of frustrated, Saturn is always the planet that is involved, because Saturn forces you to slow down and it makes things a bit more challenging than they normally would be. It gets you to take stock of your life and really face certain behaviors or relationships or situations that you normally might ignore or avoid. And it really gets you to face the reality of like who you are and what you're involving yourself in. And transit Saturn becomes super noticeable when it connects with the sun or the moon in your chart or your chart ruler, or when it meets up with an angle, like when Saturn's conjunct the IC angle. That's a huge one where you might feel very emotionally heavy and just like, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Saturn also gets you to step it up and be more mature and take on greater responsibilities and not rely on other people to do things for you. So Saturn crossing over your sun or your ascendant could have you just taking yourself on more and really looking at, how have I not been living true to myself, or how do I have these habits that are hindering my success, and facing that. But yeah, this winter I have been going through Saturn conjunct my moon, and I wanted to talk about that because it's so different than what my Saturn return was like and what Saturn conjunct my sun was like. Like, even though there's still these same underlying themes of Saturn and having to be more responsible and face reality, depending on like what house it's transiting and what planets it's connecting to in your chart, you're going to feel it very differently. So I first really started to notice Saturn connecting with my moon when it was about 3 degrees away. So I have an 11 degrees Pisces moon. And when Saturn got to 8 degrees of Pisces, it did that last summer. And then again, it got to 8 degrees around end of January, early February this year. And that's really when I was like, holy shit, I feel really weighed down. I feel stressed out. And Saturn to the moon really got me to face like kind of like how I was processing my emotions and how I might look at certain emotional patterns and really like release myself from them or change how I react, basically. So like something I have identified with my whole life is being super anxious. Like I've over-identified as being an anxious person. And when Saturn came up on my moon, it was like, no, like this is no longer working for you. Like anxiety cannot be your best friend anymore. And suddenly having insomnia for the first time in my life ever, like I've never had sleep issues until Saturn conjuncted my moon. The sleep issues actually served a purpose because they got me to learn how to like self-soothe and not given to anxiety over like an impending doom of bedtime and all that type of stuff. And I also like what's interesting about Saturn is it really, when it crosses over these planets and angles, it really gets you to tap into the full potential of what that planet represents in your chart. So like, for instance, let's say you have your moon in a particular sign and you've never fully felt like the full effects of that moon. Like for instance, my moon's in Pisces, and everyone talks about how having a moon in Pisces is such a psychic and intuitive sign to have your moon in, and like, oh my God, you must be so intuitive. And I never felt that way. Like I've always needed to like ask a channeler friend or a psychic or someone else who has abilities for their reassurance. But what Saturn moving over my moon did was really get me to own in on the qualities of that Pisces moon. And I actually have developed like such a stronger intuition, and I just trust my instincts more now. So it really does have that positive benefit. It's just usually with a Saturn transit, it's difficult, and the difficult experience presented to you gets you to like uncover something that you haven't been facing within yourself, or that you haven't like an untapped skill or a way to heal something that you've been ignoring. So I've literally started writing in a journal every single day. I pose a question to my higher self or my guides, and I'm like, what do I need to focus on today? And it's really interesting, like the answers that come up. It's not something I would normally write. It really feels like I'm speaking to like a more knowledgeable self that exists within me. That is like definitely the result of Saturn conjunct my moon. It's also interesting how you can see a transit coming up in the future, and you may know what you think that transit will be about, but you can't actually see the details of it and like what life event is happening in a couple years' time that's resulting in that energy being present. Like I feel like two or three years ago, I must have looked at, oh my God, Saturn's going to be on my moon in 2024. What's that going to result in? And I would have never guessed that it would be me getting married. And as a result, like family stuff becomes way more prominent. And the moon, for those who may not be familiar, the moon is very much associated with family relationships. And with Saturn crossing over the moon, it's interesting because like family has been so called like as a bigger focus, because you have to involve family so much in getting married. So it's been a lot of facing family relationships and moving through those dynamics that aren't always easy. That's come up a lot as well. And I really thought there was going to be, honestly, way more stress with family going on, and there hasn't been. It's just been more like interaction, but in a positive way. And really it's come from this transit has resulted in internal stuff more so than external events, like me having anxiety about going to sleep and then looking at like, why do I have anxiety in the first place and all of that, and just having to like heal certain patterns. But I do want to point out that with difficult transits, like you might fear, oh my God, this bad thing's going to happen to me when that transit comes along. But honestly, it's felt more internally. And when there is an event that's challenging that takes place, and you also have a difficult transit going on at that same time, and a hard event happens in your life as a result, like maybe getting laid off from your job or having a family member die or going through a really bad breakup, that event is usually symbolic of how you are feeling over that several month or year time frame. Or that event can be the trigger for what that entire transit is meaning for you. Like maybe experiencing a death or going through a breakup or some other type of loss that gets you to pivot in that entirely different life direction, which is represented by the transit taking place. I hope that makes sense, but it's like the planets aren't causing anything in your life to happen, but rather it's like an event will happen that sets the tone for that specific period of your life. Another thing I've been thinking about a lot recently is how once you're past your first Saturn return, Saturn starts retracing the steps it took in your early childhood. So for instance, Saturn being back in Pisces, I haven't had that transit since 1994, 1995, when I was like 1 to 2 years old. And it's interesting because it's like Saturn makes the past more relevant again. So it could be an interesting exercise to note if you are past that first Saturn return, how similar events might be resurfacing, or you're being called back to conditioning or events that happen at that moment in your childhood to learn from them in the present moment. It's very fascinating, and I'm excited to go through this next lap of Saturn through my entire chart to see how all phases of childhood and young adulthood become relevant once again. Astrology is all about tracking these patterns in your life, and they just keep repeating and repeating over time until you master that part of yourself. Okay, now to talk about something lighter, because Saturn is so heavy. What's been interesting to me the most with astrology recently, I've been currently obsessed with annual perfections, and I'm going to put a newsletter out on this, probably around the time this podcast episode is released. But with perfections, I've been taking them a step deeper and looking at monthly perfections and continuous perfections. And when I'm first incorporating a new prediction technique into what I may start to use in readings or talk about more, or just use on myself, I always track, is this resonating in my own life first? And then I start to experiment that technique on family members, my partner, friends, and seeing how it's playing out with them. And then I may start to introduce it into a reading after that. So with annual perfections, like, yes, I've used that in readings before where I'm like, okay, what's your age? And what house is represented by that age that you're currently in? Where, what's the ruling planet of that house? And what's it doing throughout the year? What's it doing in your birth chart? For those of you, I guess to rewind a second, for those of you who don't know, annual perfections are, they're an ancient timing technique in astrology where one house of your chart is representative of 1 year of your life. So starting with your first year of life from 0 to 1, you're in a first house, perfection year. And then in your second year of life, so after you turn 1, you're now in a second house perfection year. And so on. Like when you're 2, you're in a third house perfection year. And because there are 12 houses of the chart, it takes 12 years to return back to the same perfection year that you were once in. So you get that first house perfection year, which brings up huge first house themes for that year of your life. You get that obviously in the first year of your life. And then when you're 12, and then when you're 24, 36, 48, and so on. So you can actually recall, once you've gotten old enough, like you can recall back, like what was happening 12 years before and how am I seeing similar themes come up again? So just once again, we're seeing another technique that calls patterns that keep repeating in your life to your attention. But anyways, with perfections, yes, you get this general, broader sense of, I'm in this house is highlighted for me for this year of my life, starting from this birthday to this birthday. But you also get monthly perfections. So when you're starting that new annual perfection year, like for instance, I'm in my 8th house perfection year that started on January 25th, 2024. That first month from my birthday, from January 25th to February 25th, that was an 8th house perfection month. And then when we got to February 25th, 1 month out from my birthday, it switched to a 9th house perfection month. And then at March 25th, it shifted to a 10th house perfection month, and so on and so forth. So you can actually divide up your year into little month increments of when you may notice other underlying themes that become a little bit more present. And then I've also been experimenting with continual perfections where, so like this gets a little bit more complicated and relies more on the degrees of the perfections. So having like a 14 degree Leo rising, my, like the annual perfection year goes into effect when the ascendant has reached 14 degrees of that next sign. So like we're in 8th house year, like I said, ruled by Pisces. It went into effect when the ascendant in the perfections was at 14 degrees of Pisces. But I started to feel those 8th house themes come in the second it even got to 0 degrees of Pisces, which was about 6 months before my birthday. And also, if you look at this, like the planets change houses as well. Like how I have this sun in the 7th house for this perfection year, they're opposite. They're in Virgo, the 2nd house, while the ascendant's in the 8th house. And then throughout the year, slowly, if you advance further in time, the planets will start to shift to being in the 3rd house, and then the ascendant will enter the 9th house in August. So it's interesting to see like how throughout the year, even though you are in this like 1 house for that year, parts of that year might be more challenging, or you see a shift even ahead of your birthday, depending on like the degree of your rising sign. This is like just hard to explain over a podcast, but I am going to talk about this more on Substack. And astroseek.com is where I look up perfection charts. So definitely check that out if you want to experiment with continual perfections or look up what monthly perfection you're in. And it just adds another layer to that annual perfection technique. Okay, another thing I wanted to mention that is more of a like broader societal trend. I recently read this article on the New Yorker called "Is the Media Prepared for an Extinction Level Event?" And the whole article is kind of about websites shutting down, like Vice recently closed, and print media and online media too, just doing so many layoffs throughout 2023. They said like a report that tracked layoffs in the industry in 2023 reported 2,681 in broadcast, print, and digital news media, which was really high. And it just got me thinking about the astrological correlation to that, which is very much tied into these insane Gemini transits we're about to have. And I feel like we're having the death of the old way of media and how we learn about the news and learn about trends. I mean, we've already seen this with like a huge shift to social media and like people getting news more off of TikTok than a traditional newspaper. But I just feel like there's a new wave of how, like what jobs there are available within media and how people consume media even more once we get Jupiter entering Gemini this summer, which will start May 25th. Of 2024 and go until June of 2025. But then on the heels of that, we have Uranus entering Gemini also for a bit in 2025, but more fully in 2026. And that will really shake up the media landscape and how we consume information. And this is because Gemini is the sign associated with everyday communication and very digestible information. Like if we think about the two signs of the zodiac that are associated with learning and education, they're very much Sagittarius and Gemini. But to differentiate, Sagittarius is more about like worldly knowledge, spiritual beliefs, like these bigger picture topics, whereas Gemini is more about how can I get this useful everyday information in the easiest way, or how can I convey my knowledge so that everyone else can understand? Like I think of social media content as a Gemini theme. I think of like newsletters and podcasts, that all falls under Gemini. So when we're thinking of these bigger outer planet transits entering this sign of Gemini, I just expect that sharing of information and the ways we access information and learn to go through a lot of shakeups over the next several years, because Uranus does not leave Gemini until the 2030s, starts up in 2025 and does not end until 2033. So that coupled with Pluto in Aquarius, it's just like, this is an age where it's like an information age, honestly. So definitely keep an eye on how that industry is evolving in the coming years. It'll be interesting to even see what happens there this summer once we get Jupiter into Gemini. Okay, that's all I had for today though. I'm really going to try to do these more frequently because it's fun to not do the forecast like as the only episode you get. But if you have certain topics you want me to talk about for the next one, feel free to shoot me an email or a DM and I'll take that into consideration. I'll see you back here on Monday. Have a good rest of your week.